I think also the issues raised by honorable members, which do not require the participation of the department or SASA, that relates to parliamentary work. We want to try and find a space, not today, of how do we consolidate what we want to do. All the issues are very much aligned to what you raised as committee, as parliamentarians to say. We want to know more about CPS, also their role, etc. Also, what is happening, we need to evaluate whether we still have an opportunity to sustain the oversight that ensures that SASA Act is being implemented. If there are weaknesses, that SASA Act is amended as soon as possible to have some of the areas that make it weak. Otherwise, we have no SASA Act will be in non-existent while it is there. So we have to be ourselves, and we can always make our own arrangements that are going to suit our schedule of work. So now that members are back, I think Mapengu and Sisneri, it's your time.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'd like to give the CFO on the money issues, on the amounts, and then Zodwa can take us through on why maybe there's that advert of the cash payment tender went late. And then maybe CFO, you will cover the expense as well. Or must I cover that? Okay, thank you, Chair. Let me cover that part of the work stream. As we know that there was a document here, which is the SASA roadmap, of which it was telling us, you know, it is a strategy on how we're going to do the payment for the next 5 years, and then the insourcing part of it. When we started working with SAPO, we had our meetings and we had an agreement that they were going to get some technical help and we needed some technical help. But maybe just to make an example, it's for instance on the card, the new card that was going to be issued. If you put biometric, the EMV and the chip, you know, you must know how many gigs that must be there. And you find that even if, though we have our CIOs on our side, but that information is too technical, and you need those people that will be able to do the card even remote if it needs to be changed. For instance, we were able to extend the SASA card without anyone going to any machine or there, but it was done remotely. And that's the information that we wanted. And we needed again to have a concrete SASA plan, because previously when we gave the panel of experts the 5 options that we had, they were complaining that we never ever gave the cost-benefit analysis of those 5 options, and how then did we reach to choose SAPO. And our reason was that we had those, but when it comes to SAPO, because it's government to government, and the IMC gave that directive that we have to work with them, and you know, then we never then went back to that cost-benefit analysis, but they felt that we needed to do that, and we needed to do the proper costing for support, because you know it can be fixed cost and it can be reducing depending on the technology that is going to be used going forward for 5 years. And the other thing that we needed to know, what is it that what is we going to get back from support after 5 years as support? Moreover, is it something that still will be usable? You know, technology after 3 years it changes and whatever. Will it still have the full value? How much depreciation that would have depreciated for? All those that information. But more importantly as well, we know that the Act is saying SASA should be the ultimate payer of social security in full. So when we insource, to have a proper plan to say that, how then are we going to involve all other departments that are in social security, should they need to pay, like the RAF and the whatever. You know, you need that whole system that would be able to work like your, with different systems in them. For instance, if I can make an example, like your lotto, you can play to Standard Bank with SMB, and you can do it manually with the shops and all of that. And we were looking at that, and we wanted to have that proper, because remember, as I was saying to you, the strategy is changing, and you can't be a department and saying you don't have a document to say, here is the proper. We have done in-house the SASA SAPO plan and whatever, but you need something that is credible, you know, that has been researched properly. And with the West Indies as well, the 11 million was just the budget. They were going to be paid on the PSA rate. So what happened is, because we did the whole process of going to Treasury again and whatever, but ultimately the Treasury said no, and then with all the publicity, the workstreams also asked to leave. And it was before any deliverables were done, and then they left SASA. We don't have them. But because we still need the technical support that will make us have a compelling argument that you are working with SAPO, and then how then are we going to insource in 5 years' time, we have asked Treasury to actually help us with their technical department, and they have replied back to us to say we must just say whatever that we would like. But in short, those are the things that we really wanted to have a proper document, like this one, which would say this one was the first, and then it has been reduced and been replaced by that, because this one is wide, it's got everything out, and that's where we are. We hopefully we will get the proper technical people from Treasury that will be working with us going forward, and then to have that proper plan that we can give to everyone to say, this is our strategy, this is where we want to go as SAPO. Thank you, Chair. I will say CFO will give it to you.
Thank you very much, Chair. The question that was raised was related to the amount of 55 rand. And that amount, which is 55 rand, it is currently an estimation. So let me tell you now in terms of the current tender. The current tender, which currently is provided, is that you have what we call cross-subsidization. So the elements that are cheaper to do, which is... I will just do that. The cross-subsidization is that the elements that are cheaper subsidize the elements that is expensive. So that's cross-subsidization. So in the payment of grants, there are two main streams in which you pay grants. The one part is the ACB, where you deposit the money into a beneficiary bank account. Okay. That beneficiary takes money or his money through the national payment system, so going to the ATM, going to the merchant, and draw that money without the active involvement of the service provider that has been appointed. Because the merchant in ShopRite, then the ShopRite staff attends to you and give you the money and deal with all those things. Then that part is the cheapest part, because you only do much of the back office work rather than the front office work. Then, because of that transaction is flat currently, which is 644, so that back office work that is done is too minimal. So you take that money to subsidize your most expensive part, which is the cash payment. Because within the cash payment, you'll have to get the compliance writers that you do, you must have physical staff that go through. You have to have cash in transit security companies, you have to have physical security at pay points, you have to run running costs in terms of fuel, maintenance, and all these other things. So it is the most expensive part of this business, where you have to take money to the village, including the insurance for money, including the drawing of that cash, because then you, when you draw money, you know that it's very expensive when you draw money from hard cash rather than when you file. So that portion of business is what actually becomes more expensive. Because for the 2018-19, where SASA has 2.2 billion, I would say 2.3 billion, which is the allocation that we have for the 2018-19, we went out to say that if ever then were to contract SACCO, where to look for a separate service provider to do cash. So now we're shielding them. The person that does the ACB is a separate unit, which is the bank and SACCO that is doing that part. The only other part that you have to really go on tender is only ring fence numbers that relate to the cash pay bond. You need to know that if you take cash and you pay at the pay bond, whether you're paying two people, you will need a vehicle and guards and everyone in terms of that. So the equipment and also the assets that are required to do that payment remains the same, regardless of how many people are paid in that particular point. So when we look at that assumption of separating, then you need to understand what should be the cost element for the cash payment term. So what we did, we took the worst case scenario and say that, okay, the tenders will come. I think before we appointed CPS, the tenders were coming about 35. We were paying about 35 grand for transition, 36 grand. That would be about 2011. So when you look at inflating that amount and look at it actually in 2018, to say that if you were to really do that payment, how much probably you're going to be paying? So you look at the range between 40 to about probably 45 or 50. So we said, let's take the worst case scenario to be safe in event there's a movement in terms of the number. And we took actual 55 grand. The 55 grand was never really a contract amount. It's not a contract amount. It's only a worst case scenario. To say, will it still come within budget? If it comes at 50, will it be within budget? If it comes at 45, will it be within budget? So that amount was a worst case scenario, which was an estimation to say, we have taken the extreme worst case scenario that we will never have that tender coming at beyond that amount. So if it was to come beyond that amount, that would be too expensive actually to be able to contract that service provider. So that amount in terms of curbing, we understood that we will not necessarily be able to curb. But what we have done actually what we call the simulation to say, what would be the price ranges that we think about? And we looked at it between coming between 40 rand and probably coming to about 50 rand. And the Western scenario, if you look at that pressure that we submitted to court, we placed actually your beneficiaries at 1.8 million instead of the 2.5 million that you went out on the fence. So what we did, we reduced the number of beneficiaries and increased the estimated cost. I could have done differently to say that let me put the cost per beneficiary maybe at 35 and keep it actually at 2.5 million. So that was a simulation just to be able to really say, we'll be still within budget because that's the requirement that I wanted to really be assured that we would be able to remain within budget doing the services as they are. Whether people go to the bank, whether they go to SAP, or whether people go to a separate cash service provider to really deliver that. So that's basically what it is. So what we're losing now in terms of the arrangement is that cross-subsidization that we've dropped currently as a country, to say that we are separating, that the person that will be responsible for cash, it will be that. So even now, when you look at what we have requested in terms of the extension for CPS, we're ring-fencing the cash payment only, not for the whole portfolio, only the cash element for that period of 6 months. Because those people, there is no infrastructure in the villages to pay them, so we still need buyers that are going to go there. So even if we conclude the tender process now, we'll not be able to have enough, given the service provider enough time for the service provider to acquire the cars, hire people and everything, and try to be able to take money into the village. And that's what we're using as a contingency plan now, to say how do we really deal with the cash element while we finalize the rest of the process. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Can I move to the next
Chair, I wanted to explain the delay. If honourable members can recall, the procurement process that we had between ourselves and SAPO, it only ended the first week of October. which then when we eventually were made, SAFA and SAPO were made to come into one room and agree on each other working and having that relationship. The protocol agreement was only signed the 17th of November, which then meant it's only then that we started to know what SAPO will be able to offer and what SAPO will not be able to offer. We then started working on the specifications for cash only after the 12th of December when we had signed the service agreement. The delay has been caused by that man. Now, taking into consideration the fact that we also had the procurement freeze, the one that is dictated to by National Treasury, between the 15th and the 15th, the 15th of December and the 15th of January. Now, we could not do any loading any of our specifications, so we only loaded our cash payment specifications on the 12th of January. Then we had a compulsory briefing session with the service providers on the 24th of Jan. In that session, we then received a formal request from the service possible service providers or possible or prospective bidders to for extension of the closing date. We were the closing date initially was going to be the 2nd of Feb. They requested for an extension. We have given them till the month end of February. Then Chair moved the closing date from the 2nd of February to the 28th of February. That on its own then took the program 4 weeks behind schedule. So we expect the new service provider to be appointed the first week of April, and we're giving them 2 months to be able to set up and have themselves ready and start to do the cash payment themselves within in the month of June. We needed to have the current service provider to be there should there be a glitch when we do the testing for the 2 months, which is the month of May. And the month of June when they start paying. But aside to the cash payment, okay, when we do the card rollout, for us to know that these cards are working and they can be honored in all the national payment systems, including the merchants, including the point of sale devices, we will be using two cards in some states because we'll only be rolling out the cards in NS from the 2nd of April. Now, we'll be having two cards that are running, not to have the systemic risk and having the risk of not paying all our service providers. CPS is mainly requested to be there to be the backup. And once we know the card has been honored and it is working and we have already rolled out all our cards to all our beneficiaries, we will then be cutting ties with CPS. If we can cut the ties earlier than the 30th of September, Chair, that will be a bonus for all of us, but there is a framework that we'll be agreeing to with CPS on Friday, where we have put in tight time frames to ensure that the cut swap and the cut rollout, we do it within the allocated 6 months.
If it's according to the protocol in terms of attending to the range issue, and if not, we get to you, get to you to change and guide us.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think we've answered all the questions. I just wanted DG to wrap up for us.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members. I wanted to confirm what the Chairperson raised, the issue of the communication. Chairperson still said that it is the IMT that should communicate this matter.
throw the party. That is the arrangement. In fact, it's the resolution of the IMC. And GCIS is assisting us as part of the IMC.
But
we do really have a problem with the Lunga Olifant. And this one, we have to write to your office because it's employed, it's accounting directly to you. Mm-hmm. So we need indeed to actually get, have our voice, we must prevail on this one. Because it's killing South Africa. And immediately, all of us we have to respond and say yes or no to what she is actually saying. So the work, she's creating chaos and havoc in the entire country. She might not be aware of that, but if you can feel the heart of our own poor people worried about what brings a plate of food on a daily basis. Honourable members, we do know that we leave this somehow not finalised on the very issues we have raised. But I'm going to work with the Secretary and ensure that we communicate to all members to ensure that we are able to sit down and craft a programme of action in addressing what we have raised and which belongs to Parliament in particular. So that we can arrange our own. We know that we are a little bit having a pressing issue as we see here. All political parties are supposed to be working with their own parties in order to arrange the situation and make South Africa comfortable once again. I thank you very much for attending, and a lot of work has been covered. Thank you very much.
Okay, so he's got the